Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destra. Brooke, a big win for the Flyers, but they did it without their captain, Sean Couturier. He was a healthy scratch. Brooke, let's get right into that.
Yeah.
How did you feel about John Tortorella's bold, bold decision to bench his captain?
So the really funny thing is, have you come across the Evil Gritty account on Twitter?
I have
where
seen it,
they made it they made a joke that they named Konechny captain, and a couple like outlets picked up on it, and it was a whole thing. So I first saw that and I was like, oh, I'm not gonna get Evil Grittied again. And then I saw that you and a couple other people were reporting it, and I was like, oh, this is real. So A little surprising, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think it obviously also took Couturier by surprise as well. You know, he's, what, 12 games with a letter mm-hmm. now and sitting. But if you kind of look at it this way, Tortorella has always had a method to the madness, even if it's not as, you know, you can't realize it as soon as possible. He did exactly what he needed to do, which was light a fire under his team, because they knew that this, obviously it wasn't a do or die game last night against Toronto. However, it was necessary. It was a big game. It was an important one, but it was two necessary points in this stretch that he knew he needed to get. So even if you don't agree with Tortorella's methods, they have always worked out time and time again. And, you know, what that means for the long run with Couturier, do you see him sliding back in to the lineup Thursday night against Carolina? Who knows? You never really know with Torts, but I have also learned to not question him at this point.
No, that's a very fair point. I even wrote it that he has pushed plenty of the right buttons in his two seasons with the Flyers. I thought this was his boldest decision, arguably his boldest decision in his tenure.
Doubt.
And it made a lot of people scratch their head. And I'm not going to justify it totally, but without a doubt, he is kind of like a mad scientist with motivation. And sometimes you bench a guy that's extremely beloved and well-liked in the locker room, and it lights a fire under some players. And it seemed to work, Brooke, against the Maple Leafs. They went 4-3, a game, like you said, they needed to have. But Brooke, I didn't really like it because for a couple of reasons. I didn't think Couturier was really playing all that poorly. I thought he had been playing better in like his last 4 to 5 games.
Yeah.
I really view him as one of the 12 best forwards on this team right now. So I wasn't sure it really warranted a benching. Had he been struggling? Absolutely. But he's seen his minutes diminish since like mid-February.
Oh,
he's made the best of it. I think he's been a good teammate, a good player. In the diminished minutes. But the bigger problem I have is, like, I just think the communication doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah, that was the biggest takeaway that I got from everything.
Right.
Is that there was a little bit of tension, almost a little bit of animosity, almost, where you were just like, okay, clearly there is a disconnect in some way, shape, or form that is, you know, that is the biggest concern, especially when you're going off of a locker room that has preached this whole season how tightly knit everybody is in the organization. And now you have somebody who you just named your captain coming out and sharing his rightful frustrations. And you're kind of just sitting back like, oh, crap. Yeah. Like, you don't want this to be a domino that leads you in a negative direction, basically. It was interesting. And like I said, I'm completely on board. I don't think it was justified. I just, knowing the methods of Tortorella, it wasn't something that completely threw me off guard, if I'm being honest, because he was talking about how his minutes were cut and it doesn't matter where he's placed in the lineup. He still needs to contribute. And I agree. I thought that his past 4 or 5 games were also significantly better. Just that lack of contribution offensively is obviously where it's hurting them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, I don't know. It's a weird one. It's a head scratcher for sure. Just be thankful that they came out with a win last night, because if they lost, it would have been even worse. It just would have been terrible.
Yeah, he would have been highly scrutinized for it. I think he got a little bit of validation with it instead. With Tortorella, there's an old school way to him. Always has been. He's coached for a long time. I very much think he has adapted to today's game and today's athlete. And he has talked about that. He has said today's athlete is different than the athlete in the past. Mm-hmm. But he has talked about communicating, and did he communicate as well as he could have here? Can he be more forthright with his captain, the guy that literally is the head of his leadership group? To me, Couturier sounded confused. He sounded like he doesn't quite understand what he can do better. He feels like he has been better. Meanwhile, the head coach is saying, I need him to be better. So there's clearly an impasse there. And if Tortorella wants to give us the vague, he needs to be better response, that's fine. He can tell the media that. But when you're talking to your captain, you probably need to be a little more descriptive than be better. Because he thinks he has been. He's not exactly sure what else he needs to do in the role that he's playing to warrant playing and not being benched. Yeah. So it's on Tortorella to be a little more descriptive. Talk to him. Go see him. You can't always just expect the athlete to storm into your office and get the conversation. So that's the problem I have, is this is a critical time of year. This is a critical player. And I think it needs to be mended a little bit. It needs to be better there. I think Tortorella can own that a little bit, that he needs to be better there.
Sure. And it's also really interesting because post-game comments, obviously, when Couturier was asked about, he was like, I'm not talking to the media about that. This is between Sean and I. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, but is it? Has it been something that's been communicated? So it's really something it's an interesting storyline that I didn't think would develop the end of March as they're trying to make a playoff push, is why did you bench your captain, John Tortorella? But I guess, you know, hopefully something like this gets resolved, because you don't need any extra tension, any extra pressure, any extra dialogue or conversations being had about this team in a negative light when you're trying to create something really special out of a season that had no expectations going into the year. You know, so it'll be really interesting. I do hope, for everyone's sake, especially Couturier, that he's in the lineup against the Hurricanes. They got the little fire that they needed under them. They won a game that they absolutely needed to. I know it wasn't technically a must win at this point, but we'll get into this later in the podcast with the playoff push. And there's a couple teams that have been falling off, but there's a few that you still have to keep an eye on. And they were two crucial points that they needed, and it's great that they were able to do that without Couturier, but I don't think he hinders this team at all. More so, I think he does the opposite.
That's a great point. I think it would almost be asinine to say, like, well, they won because Couturier was out of the lineup. Let's not go there. They played well, and they answered John Tortorella's call. Toronto maybe didn't play their best game. I think it's fair to say Samsonov was not great in net, but the Flyers answered the call, and that was important. And the last thing I'll say too is Couturier, I think, is respecting his head coach here. He didn't, he didn't bury his head coach in the media. He said, I'm got to put my ego aside, and this is the best lineup they're going with. I'm going to respect that. I think there can be some more respect for Couturier too, from John Tortorella. I'm not saying he doesn't respect him. He has said he respects him immensely, but I think he deserves a little more clarity on what's going on, because he's been a Flyer since he was 18 years old. He's a captain. He's extremely, he's held in extremely high regard here. So I think Tortorella can give him a little more respect by maybe being a little more communicative about where he stands and what he can do to get back in the lineup as this critical stretch continues, Brooke. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. So, Brooke, this really seemed to be kind of like a stabilizing win for the Flyers. We all know how daunting this seven-game stretch is. They had lost the first two games. They had been giving up a ton of goals, and here they get one. So they're 1-2-0 in this seven-game gauntlet. How do you feel like they're faring so far in this gauntlet, and do you think they can stay afloat here and nail down a playoff berth?
Yes, I say hesitantly. It's really interesting. So I threw a poll on my X/Twitter earlier today just because I was curious about gauging other people, like where they thought this team stood halfway through the stretch. And I noted the next four games coming up for them, which is the Hurricanes, the Bruins, the Panthers, and the Rangers again. Two at home, two on the road. But I was like, out of an 8 possible points, how many do you think this team is going to come away with? And 67% said at least 3-5. Mm. So I thought that was pretty optimistic. There is that 1.2% that said 0, but it's fine. I'll find you somewhere and ask why.
Maybe those are Metropolitan Division fans or something.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's become a really, like, this stretch is such a defining moment for this team, because it's also like almost conquering past demons that they have had with specific teams. Like going into last night, not that I chalked it up as a loss, but they have just routinely played very poorly against Toronto for seasons at this point. And now you have another matchup against Boston that they have been notoriously bad over the past 5 seasons with. Luckily they've gone 2-0 in Florida against the Panthers this season, which is great. Yeah. They're one of the few teams in the league who have been able to compete with them and beat them in their home barn. And then you just have the Rangers, who again have kind of, you had a really embarrassing game for the Black Friday game, and then you had one of the most thrilling, intense matchups of the season at home against the Rangers just a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really think that I can see them maybe walking away with 4 or 5 points. Again, like, I feel like I'm also in that frame of mind for the next 4 games. Like, I understand people's worry, but if you get the job done against Carolina, who they've played all right against, I think, this season, and I think that they've been able to kind of find themselves a little more since the last time that they've played the Hurricanes. I understand the worry against the Bruins, but I can see them pulling out wins against the Panthers and even the Rangers. So I understand why people are panicking. However, give them the benefit of the doubt, because if there's one thing that this team has proven time and time again this year, is that don't count them out.
Yeah. Yeah. They've shown they can beat top teams. And I just thought the win on Tuesday was just so critical, because if they lose that one, suddenly it's 3 straight in this 7-game stretch. And maybe the pressure really builds of like, yeah, wow, we can't let this spiral. That one I really thought was just stabilizing. It got them kind of, you know, back in the win column, feeling good about themselves again, kind of reestablished their identity a little bit. And yeah, Brooke, I think there's good reason to believe they can survive this stretch. And as you noted, Brooke, before we even hopped on here, the schedules for some of the other teams that are chasing them really start to heighten a little bit. And I think if there's there's a good sign here is that the teams behind them are just so up and down. I mean, the Islanders, you know, go on a run, then they fall back a little bit. The Caps, I think they have a minus 27 goal differential. You know, they have a lot of pedigree there, but again, just an up and down team. So it's allowed the Flyers to sometimes be up and down themselves and really be okay. I like their chances, Brooke. And I really think if their top defensive pair continues to play the way it has, and Travis Sanheim and Cam York, I think they'll be okay. I've been impressed with those two.
Cam York specifically the past couple games have just been stand out in a great way. Like, I catch myself all the time being like, holy crap, York, like that, like, that was my analysis is holy crap, York, like, you just see the younger guys on this team stepping up and having that sort of player that young on a top line, and Sanheim kind of finding his way again, because there was a significant amount of time where he's kind of stalled this season, and it's a great culmination between the two of them that the Flyers desperately needed, as they were losing defensemen almost left and right for about a week and a half span. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just like, shout out to York, man. That was like, and Sanheim, really, it's just, it's been a pleasant surprise when you're using emergency call-ups from Lehigh to just fill your pairs defensively for games. Mm-hmm. I just think it's been exactly what they have needed at this time.
And it's impressive because those two, I think, know the pressure on their shoulders. I think they know how decimated they are on the back end, and that they very much are going to be the guys for the Flyers. And both played almost identical minutes. They were both in the 26-minute range, I think just a second off last night in ice time. And I thought they were excellent. So if they continue to get those types of minutes and that type of productivity from those guys, I think it'll go a long way. It kind of helps them calm things down back there, because we all know how thin they are at that position, Brooke. But and then also some of the young forwards up front are just starting to answer the bell. I think Frost and Tippett are looking like guys that are just getting better as the year goes on. And that's huge, especially when you decide to bench Sean Couturier and you have Cam Atkinson out of the lineup. You have some veterans that aren't there. You need some other guys to play like the experienced guys.
It's literally putting the fate of the game in the youth's hands. Yeah. And, you know, it's, again, with the whole, I still don't agree with sitting Couturier. However, you have these younger players now that are answering that call, whereas the beginning of this season we kept saying, okay, if Konechny's out, who can step up, who can, you know? And now we've gotten to a point where, okay, we see Frost kind of taking the reins, you see Forrester just, you know, keeping that consistency, and like you said, with Owen Tippett, who I still don't think Tippett's anywhere near his ceiling as a player, which is so exciting at this time in his career. It's great to know that these players are stepping up in crazy uncertain situations, because the benching was a curveball yesterday for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that it didn't result in any kind of negativity that we know of. The on-ice product, not at all. I don't know how things are going to pan out, you know, in the locker room and now. I don't know. But yeah, just a very, very interesting dynamic. Again, just so glad it ended in 2 points.
Yeah.
So glad.
And Brooke, you highlighted and you wanted to touch on the schedules of the Capitals and the Islanders. What did you see there? You found some interesting things just looking at the back half of their schedules compared to the Flyers going through their really tough part now.
Yeah, so obviously the Flyers are in this gauntlet stretch of 7 games, but the Capitals specifically have a difficult schedule through the rest of the season, essentially. Mm-hmm. They still have to face the Maple Leafs twice. They have Winnipeg coming up. They also have the Canes again. They see the Bruins twice. That the Flyers and Capitals end their season at home on April 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. That game, like, I'm having flashbacks to 2010. I know that's with the Rangers, but just end of season game where it could be incredibly meaningful. It could be a push to the playoffs or send you home for the off season. Yeah. I mean, those are the stakes that kind of get you so excited as a hockey fan, but you know, for a team that has worked so hard this year, you really want the Flyers to make the playoffs. But I just think Capitals still have Tampa Bay they have to see, the Red Wings, who I know have struggled a little bit as of late, but, you know, they still see them twice. It's a really interesting dynamic, because then when you flip to the Flyers schedule after the gauntlet, you still see the Sabres and the Blue Jackets and the Canadiens and the Devils, who have kind of fallen off. So it's really interesting how things are going to go.
It's worth highlighting too, because we have talked almost ad nauseum about the Flyers schedule, and it is very challenging. I very much think it's a make or break stretch in a way. If they survive it, I think they're going to be good. If they totally flounder, then they're probably in trouble. but it's worth looking at the other teams.
Yeah.
Given they have been inconsistent way more than the Flyers, and their schedules are not easy either.
Yeah. I mean, the Isles necessarily don't have anything too crazy. They see the Panthers again. They see Tampa Bay again.
Mm-hmm.
The Rangers twice, but a lot of division games for the Isles. They see the Penguins a couple more times, Jersey. It's just, I don't know. And I really think that the wheels have finally come off for the Devils and the Penguins. Yeah. I really do. I mean, listen, it's not over till it's over. But you finally, the past week, you have kind of seen those two teams collapse, yeah. Which is almost expected because I didn't see either of them maintaining what they have been up until this point. So I just think it's really important to keep an eye on Capitals and Islanders.
Yeah.
The Maple Leafs are down in Washington today for tonight's game.
Yeah.
It's great that we took 2 points from Toronto, but I really hope they give it to Washington.
I know.
You have to play flip-flop now. Like, all right, Austin Matthews, go crazy. Go crazy.
Yeah, you wondered if the Flyers did their job by kind of ticking them off a little bit, mm-hmm. and now they need to respond, and it's against a team that the Flyers would love to see them beat.
Right.
And, Brooke, it probably will be a polarizing debate, but how do you feel about this team playing meaningful games, and if they were to actually miss the playoffs, would that be a bad thing? Or, you know, I think a lot of people would say, well, this is not what we wanted. This is, you know, they can't be a fringe playoff team. Like, now they're kind of in the middle. To me, I think it's great experience. I think this is good for the Flyers rebuild. It'd be one thing if they had a slew of aging players that, yeah. you know, you're wondering where this thing goes. They don't. I think their lineup's kind of littered with players 25 and under that I think are going to build off of this experience, whether they succeed or fail.
Yeah, I feel like in years past, as a fringe playoff team, there I understand the frustration of not being there and not being able to compete. However, it's not like how it's been in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, I do take this season as great experience. However, I also see it as, you want to talk about fuel to a fire. Are these young guys feeling like they are so close to their first playoff experience? And then that being taken from them, I think if anything, that would ignite something even crazier for next season. I do see them making the postseason this year. I genuinely do. But I think if for that slim chance, the opportunity kind of slips through the cracks, they're going to use that as fuel to the fire. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've used that term like 800 times on the pod today. I don't care because I think that's exactly what it'll be. You were going to have hungry, frustrated in a good way players that know that they would just miss the mark and they need to come out swinging next year. So this whole year has been great experience for the team. It really has been. And I think that that's just the ultimate takeaway from this season, is that they're leaps and bounds ahead what anybody had thought. You're seeing careers kind of blossom in front of our eyes in terms of players like Tippett, mm-hmm. and then you have young guys figuring things out. Forrester took such a long time to find his legs, to kind of adjust to the NHL significantly, and now, you know, you're tracking him every single game because he can become an impact player like that. It's important. So, you know, again, I see them making the playoffs. I do. But if for some reason it doesn't, I think if anything, it'll just add Muir.
Yeah.
They're adding Muir. Yeah. They're adding. It would just add more.
Yes, there we go.
There we go.
No.
Keep them determined and keep pushing for what they want, which ultimately is Stanley Cup back on Broad Street.
Yeah, I think the Flyers in-house feel the same way. I think they're very happy they're getting this experience with their young players. They've said it. They wanted to get better this season. They've gotten exponentially better compared to what people thought before the season. And they're playing meaningful games. I think good or bad, this is really good for the Flyers. And it's not like they're, you know, benching young kids or anything. They've played a lot of youth. They're actually even taking vets out of the lineup to play younger players.
Right.
So people can, you know, can't really complain about that. Right.
Uno reverse.
Exactly. But this stretch only gets tougher, Brooke, for the Flyers, and it'll be very intriguing just to see how they handle it and if they can continue to pick off some wins here. But we'll definitely have it all covered on the Flyers Talk podcast. We'll see if Sean Couturier is back in the lineup and where that storyline goes.
Oh, boy.
And Brooke, who knows? Maybe another storyline will pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It seems to always happen with this team.
What else is new? Also, one more thing before we wrap. Congratulations to Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah.
Calling it a career. He's going to sign the one-day contract with the Flyers. They're going to honor him in April. Just an incredible career. Just enjoy, Simmer.
Yeah, very cool to see him and really get his day. Travis, I was talking to Travis Konecny in the locker room the day it came out, and he was like, he deserves this day.
Yeah.
Like, that guy deserves this day. It'll be very cool just to see fans get a chance to show their love for him and get him, you know, I loved his comments about he's got two daughters and a really young baby boy. And he said his daughters don't know anything about his Flyers days. He's like, they only know him as a Leaf. He's like, he wants them to see where he's a product of. I thought that was really, really neat. So for them to be there and see him kind of get love from Philadelphia,
for sure,
it's going to be awesome. So yeah, kudos. Love stick that. Taps to Wayne Simmonds. Brooke, thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. Can't wait to do it again. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, for always being flexible with our time. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.